I'd like to encourage you to turn your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter this morning. John, chapter 15. It was wonderful seeing some brethren at the 9 o'clock hour that I've not been able to see in some few months. We had 83 at that time. We certainly have more than that at this hour. And to be able to see faces at this service that I've not been able to see in some time. What a wonderful thing it is for us to be able to worship and to praise our God together. Making plans is probably the most difficult thing we can do right now. All of us would like to know exactly what our world is going to be like, what restrictions will either be in place or out of place in the next weeks, months, even within the next year, but none of us know. We're looking ahead and hoping for the best come the fall when it comes to schools. And even as a church, we're trying to figure out when is it that we can all be together. Making plans right now is really, really hard. And so it may seem odd that I want to speak today about something that we had planned at the very beginning of the year. And that is that we were going to be looking at this notion together this year about sharing God's vision. As has been mentioned in previous messages and emails, this summer, our summer series is going to be focused on this idea as applied to the family. And so each Wednesday evening this summer, we'll be able to live stream a lesson about God's vision for some aspect of the family. But this morning, I want to focus on one final aspect of God's vision for His people, the church. And what we're looking at specifically is, what is God's vision for my place in His body, in His church? Now, when we think of passages that have to do with being a member of the body, there are several New Testament passages that we would go to. We would think of Romans 12. We would think of 1 Corinthians 12. We would think of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at those passages in brief and make a few points from them. But this morning, I want us to look at John chapter 15. It's not a passage, perhaps, that we think of predominantly as dealing with members of the body, but there's some things there, some simple truths that I think will be helpful to us. So if I'd ask you to read that with me, and I'll put it on the board as well, John chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Sometimes when we speak about our role within God's body, within His church, it can become speculative. What are my talents? How can I serve? What if I'm not one of these defined roles that we read about in God's body? What if I'm not an elder or a deacon or an evangelist? And so I wonder and I speculate, well, what is the exact role that God has for me in His body? Well, here's the reason why I chose this passage this morning. Because Jesus doesn't deal with any specified roles. He says one thing. You and I are supposed to be branches. That's what we are. He is the vine, and you and I are branches. And there is no more definition given to what we are than that in this passage. Rather, as branches, here's what you and I can know. My role within His body is to bear fruit. That's it. If I am a branch within Him, within His vine, then I bear fruit. In fact, He said back in verse 2 that if I'm not bearing fruit, then I'm going to be taken away. And furthermore, in verse 6, I'll even be destroyed. What's God's vision for my place, for my role in His body? Be a branch. Bear fruit. I mentioned earlier the other passage that we would oftentimes go to when we're speaking about members in His body. And let's look at those briefly. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and beginning in verse 3. Because actually when you look at these things, even though it may mention some specified works or roles, they're all coming back to the same point that Jesus made. Romans chapter 12 beginning in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Yes, Paul specifies, here are some works, but the point of the passage is, whatever gifts you have, they have come from God. And you are a part of Christ's body and a part of each other. Therefore, Paul doesn't dwell on the importance of one role or another. He just says, whatever work you have, whatever gifts you have, utilize them for God's people. Or again, in the terms of Jesus, you're a branch. Bear fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a longer passage. We won't read all of it, but we can start in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And He continues on in this vein in the passage to speak about how each role given by God and placed in the body as God desires has its importance. Again, it's you and I that can get caught up in dwelling and speculating on individual roles and certain works. What God is saying in Scripture is whatever works you can do, they're essential and they're important. And they are to be used in His body. Ephesians chapter 4, just briefly, Paul speaks about how God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And he concludes it in verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Once again, Paul is coming back to the same point Jesus made in John 15. You're a branch. I'm a branch. We're all individual parts of a body. And the important thing is that those branches bear fruit, those members of the body do their work. But now I want to draw your attention to something else in the passage. And something that maybe we don't think about nearly enough. When we think of our roles, of our place in the body, we oftentimes put the emphasis on ourselves. I'll speak about my work, my talents, or I may wonder what role I may fill. The one thing Jesus makes clear in this passage, that if I am going to be a branch that bears fruit, it is for one reason. And it's not myself. It is because of Him. Notice what He says in verses 4 and 5. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Think of that. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Why is it that I can bear fruit? Is because I'm a part of something greater than myself. This image that Jesus uses in this passage is so wonderful. We may not live in Palestine where we can go out and readily find grapevines, but you can certainly find vines in our area. You can even go look at a branch of a tree and ask yourself the question, where does the vine end and the branch begin? Yes, you and I can see the individual branches, but where does the vine end and the branch begin? And the reality is, it doesn't. That branch is still a part of the vine. You can't just separate the two. If you separate the branch from the vine, it's no longer part of the vine. You and I can bear fruit because we're a part of Him. When you look at some of the works that Jesus has asked us to be a part of, even look at some of the fruits He's asked us individually to bear, we can think of passages like Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and looking at those fruits of the Spirit, and ask yourself, how easily are some of those fruits, how easily can I bear them? The answer is, it's pretty difficult. To maintain peace in a world of conflict, to have joy when there's so much discouragement, to have love, which we'll talk about more in a minute. All these things we find are not easy because we see all around us that they're not readily present in people's lives. What does Jesus say? If you abide in Me, you'll be a branch. You'll be a branch that bears fruit. What does that mean for us then? It means that when people see Me, when they see you, they're supposed to see something more than Me. They're supposed to see something more than you. You're a branch. I'm a branch. And so when they see us, what they're also seeing is the vine. When they see us, what they also should be seeing is Christ in us. He goes on further in this passage to speak about how exactly it is that we abide in Him. And so in verse 7, If you abide in me, my words abide in you. And then again in verse 9, he speaks about how it is that we are to abide in his love. But in verse 10, this relational concept is amplified by the fact that if we keep his commandments, we will abide in his love. How can I be a branch? How can you be a branch? Only when his words are in me. And only when his words are in me to the point that I am following his words, therefore I'm in a relationship with him where his love is there for me. That's how. I am a branch. You are a branch. Branches bear fruit. And branches can only bear fruit when they're in the vine. Jesus in this passage does not specify what the fruit is. I have heard, and this is not a bad application of John 15, but applications of John 15 made to evangelism, that we're in the vine, we're branches, we ought to be bearing fruit, so we ought to be bringing more souls to Christ. Certainly, absolutely true. But Jesus didn't specify that in John 15. Again, we could look at passages that speak of all the fruit that we should be bearing, like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So yes, that fruit should be present in me. But there is one fruit in this passage that Jesus specifies. One fruit that has to be present for us to be the vine, to be the branches that he says we must be. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And you continue that thought on through verse 17. The one fruit he specifies in this passage, that you and I love one another. So, I know I'm dealing with intelligent people who can put all this together, but I am going to simplify things here real quick. What is our Lord saying to us in this passage? That my place, your place, in the body, in the church, simply put, be a branch. And branches bear fruit. But branches bear fruit solely because we're in the vine. We're a part of something greater than ourselves. We bear fruit because we are in Him. And we are in Him again from the passage. When His Word abides in us, when we follow that Word, and therefore His love abides in us, therefore it should not be a surprise to us that the one fruit He says must be present is that you and I love each other. And so then work it backwards. If I lack the one fruit that my Lord says must be present, I'm not bearing fruit. And if I'm not bearing fruit, I'm a branch that's taken away and ultimately destroyed. What does this mean for us at university? Well, I'll draw two applications here. First one, we've already, I think, stressed a good bit at the beginning. We can get enamored with titles. We can get enamored with specific works and roles. I want us to all appreciate God isn't enamored. He's not. What God wants from each and every one of us is to be a branch, to bear fruit. And again, read through those passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and marvel at the fact that they do not go into detail about various works and how important each work is. No, it simply says there are works out there. There are gifts available. God has bestowed them upon you. You are a part of His body. Therefore, work as part of His body. And so that should be my focus today. That should be your focus today. That should be my focus this week and your focus this week. Bear fruit. Have God's Word abide in me. Follow His Word, understanding that His love is now abiding in me and I am bearing fruit for Him. And by the way, if we again think about it, this only amplifies the fact that our faith must be in Him. Because what happens when you and I are reading His Word and wanting that Word to abide in us? We are challenged. We are challenged to our core by concepts that we just put out there with words. Again, words like peace, words like joy, words like forgiveness. And we can talk about those things all the time, but ultimately when we read what our Lord says about those things, we are challenged deep within. How can I possibly bear this fruit? Have faith. Trust in your God. You're abiding in Him. And He says, if you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. So continue to abide in His Word. Continue to obey His commandments. And trust Him that His love abides in you. And you're bearing the fruit you're supposed to bear. Love shouldn't be a difficult concept to preach on. In fact, in past generations, a preacher might be belittled if he spoke on love too much. That's a soft topic. You know, give us the issues. That's what we need. We need preaching on that. I think when you and I look at our society, though, I think we would realize that there is no greater issue that needs to be proclaimed than that of love. There is nothing so amiss in our society as this concept. We find it evident that love is absent everywhere. We find it true in how politicized everything has become. We find it true, even as Brother Kenny mentioned this morning, and I was worried the 9 o'clock hour when he first started. I was like, okay, he's got my sermon already in the Lord's Supper talk. I don't know what I'm going to do. But when you and I, when we hear these stories of deaths like that of George Floyd and then the unrest following, and what do we see in all of this? Love is missing in our world. And you and I can't fix it. It is beyond us. So what can we do? We can bear the fruit that our Lord said must be borne by His people. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. What does that mean for us right now? Well, I think... And I start every week, by the way, saying that, you know what, this week I don't want to speak on anything, even mention anything that's happening in our world. I'm just ready to move on. And then by the end of the week, I'm like, well, can't move on yet. How is it that love is seen for us right now? Well, today is an odd day for me. It's an odd day for you. I spoke to some of the congregation at 9 o'clock. I'm speaking to some of the congregation now at 11 o'clock. I'm speaking to some of the congregation at home. And the reality is, that's going to be the case for a while. And so you and I who love each other, and yet we're not even physically present together, how can I show my love? That's the challenge we have. And the solution isn't, okay, we'll find one option, and this is what's going to work for everybody. Not at all. The solution is, we're going to be kind to each other. And we're going to support each other. And we're going to reach out to brethren that we don't see. And we're going to pray for their health. They're going to pray for our health. And we're going to encourage each other as best we can. Because we're going to bear the fruit of love. And if you and I are affected by what we see in the world, and we see the scars out there, even scars in our own city just a couple of miles down the road, well, love means that I'm also going to have to support brethren who are affected by these things in different ways than I am. And they're affected by these events in ways that I never could be. And that's not easy. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Would you pray with me?